It's just great to invite to the microphones for the first time Richard Hooker, Teamster President of Local 623, who is challenging IBT President Sean O'Brien to lead that mighty union that represents 1.3 million workers. Mr. O'Brien came to prominence, of course, ran as a reformer. Then he showed up at the Milwaukee Republican Convention and appeared to be courting President Trump. While they didn't exactly endorse, he didn't show up at the Democratic Convention, and they stayed on the sidelines. Richard Hooker, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, good brother. Thanks for having me.
So introduce yourself. What is your local 623, and why are you taking on this mighty challenge?
So I'm the Secretary Treasurer of Teamsters Local 623. Some locals is the president, some locals is the secretary treasurer. I'll follow one of those locals where the secretary treasurer is the principal officer. We represent UPS workers, school bus drivers, staff at AFL-CIO, ticket agents at Greyhound, and we have about five other organizing drives going on right now. So we're trying to expand and our local. So the reason why, well, there's a lot of reasons why I plan on running against O'Brien. The main thing is, if you look at the Teamsters organization, it has become just a system of just fear, retribution, retaliation, and all these kinds of things like that, right? And then when you add in all the other things as far as like this UPS contract that has crumbled, things need to change. Now, this system has been going on long before O'Brien. He was a part of it.
Right.
But now that he's the general president, it has gotten worse. So we have to challenge the system and fix the system so we can move into the direction that we need to move into.
And so if we go back a bit, when he was elected, he also kind of rode an energy that was manifest from what you talk about, right? It was kind of parallel around the UAW and Sean Fain. And a system where there was this issue of corruption had dogged the union historically. It was a mighty union, but it was dealing with, of course, a legacy of James Hoffa. In some cases, where organized crime actually got a hold of the unions and exploited them. And so there was this reform movement, and it was a controversial UPS contract. I guess it was voted down, but was imposed. And so O'Brien kind of rode this grassroots thing that had been building. And so do you think that there's a feeling out there that this courting of Donald Trump was a betrayal of those values?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You cannot be a labor leader in any capacity and align yourself with anybody that's anti-worker, anti-human, anti-labor, and just pro-billionaire, pro-ruling class. You can't do that. And that's what he did. And he put the working class, you know, he put us back, especially the Teamsters. You just cannot align yourself with anybody like Donald Trump. You just can't do that. Look what he's doing to workers. Right. You can't right. do that.
And so I'm wondering, I do see, for instance, with what's happening, we had at the top of the program, my interview with Liz Shuler, President of FL-CIO, really raising the profile of federal workers. And so we're seeing that Sarah Nelson from the flight attendants referred to this as PATCO on steroids, which is, that was 13,000 people back in 1981. We saw Ronald Reagan, he was a former union president himself, but he laid off all these workers who had the nerve to go on strike. By the way, for things, if you go back and do the research, you could take that demand letter that they had when they went out, and it would read like the front page news of the New York Times. All the things working people on the front lines of air traffic control were saying are still true today. And can you talk about what is it? Why is there not more solidarity with federal workers? Why is there the sense, is it Fox News, that people feel like, oh, I may be a local, municipal, county worker, state worker, I'm in a union, but I'm essential. But federal workers, even though they may be at the VA, they may be turning our veterans in their beds so they don't get bed sores. But we don't see the building trades. We don't see anyone saying, hey, listen, as Liz Shuler says, An injury to one is an injury to all.
The reason why you don't see that is because, for whatever reason, we believe that the labor movement is not inclusive of everybody. Is I worry about my members at 623. You worry about your members over there, and we don't realize that all of us are fighting the same battle. All of us have the same enemy, and if they could pick us off one by one, that's what they're going to do, and that's what they're doing right now. And so we have to have these conversations with all of labor unions and talk about why it is important for all of us to stand together and fight back together, because we're stronger together. We are. And when you try to isolate yourself because you believe you're going to get some kind of favor from Donald Trump, that's not going to happen. And we see that, right? His top two guys, I call them Bezos and Musk, they hate each other. Hate each other. But when it comes time to dominate the worker, they join forces. So they understand what needs to happen when they want to get over it. Let's go after the NLRB. And that's what they did. And they used Trump to do it. Hey, Trump got in. A week or two later, let's dismantle the NLRB. Just what they wanted. Now workers don't have, sufficient protections because of what they all working together to do. We need to have that same spirit, solidarity. We need to weaponize that. That's what we have to do.
Well, speaking of weaponizing that, we have, of course, Chris Silvera on the line now, Secretary Treasurer of Teamsters Local 808, Metro Track Workers. They also do building service work that makes Stuyvesant Town one of the best places to live in New York City. So, Chris, Brother Hooker's been laying out his case. Why is it that that Sean O'Brien has to go? Well, of course, we'll reach out to Mr. O'Brien, see if he wants to come on Labor Radio in New York City. We do believe in equal time. So, Chris, what is the problem? What's the beef that you have with O'Brien?
I don't have any beef with O'Brien. I have beef with O'Brien's policies. I have beef with O'Brien's direction that he's taking the union in, one that will ultimately lead to the defeat of the working class. I don't know Sean O'Brien to have a beef with him. I know Sean O'Brien's policies, and those policies are negative and not in the interest of Teamsters or the working class as a whole.
And so, Chris, let's dig into that a bit. Where do you see there needs to be a change? How, I mean, should be Teamsters be out there right in the leadership with standing up for federal workers? I mean, where what should labor leaders be doing now who are not don't represent federal workers? What's the necessity for them?
We should have learned from PATCO what happened after PATCO. And so, not just Teamsters, but the labor movement in its entirety, not giving lip service. We should be on the verge now, if not in a general strike, to say that we will not allow an injury to one. An injury to one is an injury to all. And if you can snatch the rights of federal workers, why wouldn't you be able to snatch the rights of UPS workers or railroad workers or any other group of workers for that matter? So we have to understand class interest, and we have to understand what happens, because it already, to some extent, that's really happened, where the ruling class has completely dominated the working class. And so we find ourselves fighting back today from a point where we were in the 20s and the 30s, and I would dare say we're in the worst situation because of the way information flows or does not flow.
Exactly. Call us if you'd like to get into this. Are you a Teamster, a union activist, a federal worker? 212-209-2877, 212-209-2877. Richard Hooker, one of the things to support Chris's observation, before Reagan did what he did, and by the way, at the time, 65% of America supported what Reagan did. We had union density about 20%. We do know also that union households bring home a lot of additional money, 15 to 20%, depending on what job it is, than the non-organized folks. And after what Reagan did, the private sector took a lesson from it and just tore up contracts, and density dropped to 10%. Now, if you add it all in, it's 6% of the private workforce, and we see the 30% in the public sector, and averages out around 10%. This cut to federal workers being represented will move back the labor movement dramatically. Is it getting much? What's the scene? What's been your recent contract experience? What are you seeing on the ground in Philadelphia? There was that prolonged municipal strike. What's happening in Philadelphia related to these issues?
So we did have the municipal workers. They went on strike, and you saw the city government, how they just manipulated, you know, everything. And then you saw, to your point earlier, that labor did not show the solidarity that we needed in order to support those workers. Some unions were out there. We were out there. Some other teams and locals were out there. But you had like the building trades crossing the picket line. You had IIC workers crossing the picket line, right? And so that's when you saw the city kind of take control and change the narrative of what was going on. Because if labor is not together, then guess who wins? The bosses win. And the city won that. And I feel bad because I know how hard those workers work. I know how hard the leadership worked, and it was a bad situation for that to happen. The school teachers just reached a tentative agreement earlier this morning because they were going to go out on strike. School started today for most kids, and they settled. I don't know the information, but I know they do have a contract tentatively. Right, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say the thing for the municipal workers is public workers striking in New York City, that's against the law. We have the Taylor Law. And so, Chris, this idea of worker solidarity, I guess it you do see, for instance, we saw that Chris Smalls, who established the Amazon Labor Union, of course, it's now Teamsters, he's moved on to do other projects. But we saw what happened with Gaza. He was part of that aid flotilla, Chris was, that was going to Gaza to try to bring aid, diapers and formula. Israel boarded the ship illegally and beat him up. He was finally released. But you were one of the few labor leaders to speak on his behalf. And it seems there's a reluctance to connect the dots with what's going on in Palestine. We did see Israel had a general strike, right? It did disrupt rail. Yes. But can you talk about the need to collect, I know we're up against time, this geopolitical struggle about social justice with where we live?
If we don't recognize and connect those dots, if we don't understand why no one speaks out in support of Gaza, my experience tells me that this continues throughout. So when there was when you had the drama in Ferguson after the death of Michael Brown, the kids in Gaza were communicating through social media with the kids in Ferguson, telling them how to protect themselves against tear gas and what have you. So this oppression of the people in Gaza is being experienced by Blacks in America, right? We paint it differently, maybe we're not, you know, but they are going through a similar experience. This is imperialism in its waning years, trying to hold on to its power. And that power has been waning since the end of World War II. If you really think about it, America hasn't won a war post-World War II.
Didn't which accounts, Korea, which, didn't win, yeah. Right, which accounts for this pushback. Now, we do have a caller, and there are stockholders.
Yeah.
Caller, where are you calling from? What's on your mind, and what's your name?
My name's John, and I'm calling the gentleman who's speaking. His name is Chris. Before your show is over, would you please announce his contact information? Because I think he's right on. That we should all be striking, because if they can lay off the federal workers like that, he's 100% correct. They're going to lay off anybody and everybody they can who's a union worker. And I don't understand. You have police and firemen who have their own unions, and they stand behind Trump like he's God. What's wrong with that situation? I mean, don't they understand that we're all together in this? They're out of their mind, these people. And Trump's crazy.
Thank you so much, caller. So, Mr. Ucker, back to you. This question about solidarity. We do know the International Association of Firefighters sat on the sidelines in the presidential race. They had been enthusiastic backers of President Biden. So what about that? I mean, do you think that our public safety brothers and sisters in those unions, we do see situations where the Trump administration, the junta, as I call it, because of the involvement of Musk, actually send in National Guard and police and federalize the police and try to federalize that function when the cities have brought the crime down, Brother Hooker. Yeah. In New York City, 2,100 homicides when this old man started as a Jimmy Olsen young man. It's under 400 now.
Yes.
Why don't the police unions feel a sense of pride and realize that the letting the federal government come in is the overthrow of democracy, yeah. Brother Hooker?
Yeah. Fear. This is why people don't speak out against this kind of behavior with Trump. They're afraid of him. Again, you know, I have no idea why. Well, I do know why he's sending these, you know, these folks into these cities. If you look at it, they have a high population of Black folks. The mayors of these places, majority are Black. And so, again, he's a racist person. And so
loves it. They love it.
They love it. Right. Again, that's the biggest reason why a lot of union workers voted for Trump, because a misogyny and racism was more important to them than their pension, than their worker protections, than their contract. And you see it now. Right. But now there's some buyer's remorse. But the solidarity aspect, that's the only way we can push back and fight back against this thing. So hopefully the police unions, firefighting unions, they see that and kind of back the rest of the labor movement against Trump.
Exactly. Now, Chris,
add something?
Yeah, go ahead. They give also your contact info.
They're not. My number is 917-297-2241. But they're not unions. Those are associations, number one. They're associations of a particular group of workers in which governments throughout the world have always given them some favor, because the police is an extension of the state. And so the police are always going to get some gravitas. However, if we remember going back when Giuliani, who was supposed to be a big pro-police guy, they were demonstrating against him at one point because he didn't want to give them a decent and fair contract. So what we must understand from the working class is that when the unions are gone, your power to get a raise of pay, you are going to find yourself sliding backwards as inflation continues to rise, and there will be no vanguard organization to help you, and you're going to find yourself back to where you don't have a pension, because that will become more profit, right? So if you go back to PATCO, there were more pensions alive at that point than there are today, right? Mm. So the entire working class loses. And so if you look at even the federalized National Guard, that's working class people.
Oh,
their parents are working class. Some of them might even be members of unions.
And some of them actually went into it as a economic draft. That's it for us, yes. Chris Silvera. To be continued. We are so grateful. Richard Hooker, Secretary Treasurer of Teamsters Local 623 out of Philadelphia. He's going to be challenging IBT President Sean O'Brien. We hope to have you back. And of course, we have an invitation to Mr. O'Brien that's always open to join us here on WBI Pacifica Labor Radio in New York. Democracy Now! Is up next. Of course, Law and Disorder after that. Of course, Jenna Flanagan, We Decide America at the Crossroads. Thanks so much. Remember, you get the world you fight for nonviolently.
Don't you know you're talking about a revolution that sounds Don't you know you're talking about a revolution that sounds
This Work Bites podcast is sponsored by Barish and McGarry, lawyers for the 9/11 community, who remind everyone, responders, downtown office workers, residents, and students, that 9/11 did not end on 9/11. 68 cancers have been linked to the World Trade Center toxins. Everyone is eligible to enroll in the free nationwide World Trade Center Health Program, and if certified with a World Trade Center illness, are eligible for an award from the Victims' Compensation Fund.